Testing 1, 2, 3. Now I am testing at 10 inches. Testing at 10 inches at this volume. Now I am testing with a cardboard pad. This is a cardboard sound minimizing pad.
Immediately after the homily, you'll have the papal blessing following the exercises and the blessing of the religious articles. The conclusion of the spiritual exercises in the mind of St. Ignatius should be on what he calls the contemplation for obtaining divine love. And it comes in three parts. Part one is an explanation of what is true love. Part two is to see how gratitude is the foundation of our love. And part three is the famous Sushipe, take, O Lord, and receive, the oblation we make to God, which synthesizes our giving ourselves entirely to God in return for his giving himself to us. What is true love? As St. Ignatius understands it, true love consists more in deeds than in words. We can tell someone we love him and even mean it. But what a difference between telling someone, I love you, amo te, or diligo te, and really love. The heart of love is in the will, and we manifest our love by giving ourselves to the one whom we claim to love. This is the first observation that St. Ignatius makes. The literature of all nations is filled with beautiful poetry, stories of ecstatic love, where the key to true love is that a person gives with that as a background. The core of this meditation on the contemplation for obtaining divine love begins with reflecting on the great things that God has done for us, and a law of the spiritual life, which I leave with you as the closing exhortation of the retreat. We shall grow in our love for God in the measure that we daily reflect on God's goodness to us, Gratitude is the food of love. We nourish our love on gratitude. That is why, from the first days of the novitiate, we are trained to make a twice daily examination of conscience. And those examinations of conscience, I can't believe it, I've been making them since 1936. And I mean it every day. Begin, we are told, every examination of conscience with a reflection on the blessings that God has given you in the last day or last half day. Gratitude, in order to nourish our love. There are five levels of gratitude that we should, at least now as we close the retreat, reflect on, and for the rest of our lives, use as a nourishment for our selfless affection for God in return for His infinite love for us. First of all, our creation. We can use the word, even know what it means, but fail to realize the essence of creation is that God, out of love, and of course this is omnipotent love, God began, shall we use the verb, with nothing. That's us without God. Zero. Nothing. Nihil. Gratitude, therefore, for our creation. And given the infinite variety and hierarchy of creatures in the world, we could all, why not, have been made fleas, maybe of different size or shape or species, but fleas, or God had been specially generous, could have made us cats or dogs, or with all extraordinary generosity made us horses or elephants. An elephant has no more right to existence than we do, and has that right to existence which is zero, none. Talk about love. Love gives where the one who receives has no claim on the love. How would nothing have any claim on anything? We need this. Gratitude for our redemption. We are liable to think of our redemption in generic or broad global terms. Well, let's not. Each one of us is a sinner. Each one of us have to be personally, individually redeemed. by the blood of Jesus Christ. God, in His loving mercy, became man, lived, and then dragged His heavy cross to Calvary, bled to death out of love for us. And even as we reflect on how we should love God in return, the pattern of how we are to love God, well, what else is a model of how He has been loving us? Either our love of God costs us, or we can seriously question whether we are really loving Him. Love sheds blood, and that's not a figure of speech. God, out of His love for us, as faith tells us, loves us, and everything in our lives, call it, loves us providentially. And the longer the word, the less meaning it'll have. It gets lost in its speculative abstraction. Every bed we sleep in, somebody had to make the bed. Not just as you say, make the bed by putting the bedclothes on the bed, but make the bed. Food we eat. The generosity behind those who say, conduct a retreat house. There is no event in our lives, faith tells us, that is coincidental. Everything, everyone, is part of God's providential love. And of course the response on our side should be accordingly. The last thing we would dare be impatient with is somebody's manifestation of love. The fact that we don't always appreciate, what a safe statement. God's providence does not make it less providential. God loves us in every least what we casually and mistakenly call chance in our lives. We never have a stray thought. Never, never. Are we to nourish every thought we get? Oh no. It comes from God. Oh, my friend, look, let's get back to basics. God puts creatures in our lives as part of His providence in order to give us a chance to prove our love for Him by removing. And sometimes the removal should be rapid. I don't hesitate using the verb, some creatures should be kicked out of our life. What a question. Are even the sins we've committed part of God's mysterious providence? Yes. Knowing how congenitally proud we are, God knows, He knows, and the more prone we are to pride, the more God in His mysterious providence has allowed us to make fools of ourselves by sinning. Not to see that is not to see the fundamentals of Christian spirituality. We go on. All of this, by the way, is pure Ignatian thought. God loves us. He loves us by dwelling within the very creatures that He gives us. Or better, God dwells, He Himself, by His almighty power, dwells within the creatures that He has brought out of nothing, in order that by dwelling within them, which means by dwelling within us, He might thereby manifest His love as only an indwelling Holy Trinity can show His love. This is the whole mystery of the supernatural life, where we believe the Holy Trinity, though present everywhere, dwells only in those in whom it makes its home and changes, elevates human beings to a height that is unattainable, unscalable, and impossible except for God's marvelous love. The moment we are baptized, we receive the indwelling Trinity. And there's only one desire we should have in life. Having received the indwelling Trinity at our baptism, that when our body dies, our souls shall be animated by this living God, so that the body will indeed die, but the soul will continue living into eternity. One more part, almost but not quite finished. Our gratitude towards God is not only that God has been so generous in making us out of nothing, in giving us all that we now possess, but in God's mysterious plan, He wants to give us nothing less but Himself. The indwelling Trinity in which we believe is meant to reach fruition and the beatific vision on high. What is the purpose of God's love? Is it to give us such wonderful gifts, including the gift of ourselves? Not only. God's final purpose in loving us is to give us Himself. And that is what he wants from us. The longer we live, the more we examine our consciences and have to honestly admit, Lord, I've tried, but I must admit, I have not been much of an example of exalted virtue. But one thing, dear Lord, I can tell you, and I mean it. I have sincerely desired to give you myself. And that, in the last analysis, is what God wants. He wants our hearts. We are weak. We are stupid. All the promises we make, the resolutions written in calligraphic letters, but we know ourselves. The one thing that God wants is us. He wants our wills. He wants us to keep telling him, dear Lord, you know me and you probe me. In the last analysis, with all of my weakness, all of my broken promises, all of my unkept resolutions, I mean it. I do love you. And that is why St. Ignatius, as the crowning of the spiritual exercises, has given us what we call the Suscite, which I will now read. It occurs, by the way, on page 3 of your retreat prayer book. Suppose we say it together. On the top of page 3, the title is Take and Receive. Take and receive, O Lord, all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my whole will. Thou hast given me all that I am and all that I possess. I surrender all to thee, that thou mayest dispose of it according to thy will. Give me only thy love and thy grace. With these I'll be rich enough and will desire no more. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So far the homily. Now before the papal blessing, it is customary, as you know, for the retreat director to assign someone prayer to be recited for 40 days, beginning today, today being the 14th of May. May, I believe, has 31 days. So, my arithmetic, there are 18 days, including today, left in May. Am I correct? 18 plus 22, I think, equals 40. So beginning today, until the 22nd of June inclusive, to say the Society we just recited once a day. And that in order to obtain from our Lord the graces to remain faithful to both the decisions made in mind and the resolutions in will as the fruit of these spiritual exercises. Then on the 22nd of June to, well, receive Holy Communion, and for the 8 days that's the Church's condition for a plea of indulgence, within 8 days before or after to have gone to confession, and you gain another plea of indulgence. In other words, the Church has her own spiritual arithmetic. Frequent confession in the mind of the Church is every 2 weeks. Look around, shop around, call up, find priests who are willing to both hear your confessions and will be happy to give you absolution and not give you a speech for bothering them with their peccadilloes. And now we'll have the papal blessing, followed by the blessing of the articles, and then the enrollment in the confraternity of the Martyr's Medal, about which some of you already know. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen. Now together, for the intentions of the Holy Father, our Father, hail Mary and the glory, together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall, world without end. Amen. And now the blessing of the religious articles, and the Church has been lavishly generous to members of the Society of Jesus. One sign of the cross, and all the religious articles are blessed. I will first give the sign of the cross, and then add some of the formula blessings which are given in the Church's liturgy. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Now the blessing of the rosaries. For the praise and glory of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, and in commemoration of the life, death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, may these beads be blessed and sanctified in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Again, I'm adding this without being strictly necessary, as I've just explained, the blessing of crosses. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, Father of all consolation and loving care, through the merit of the most bitter passion, which thy only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, endured for us sinners on the wood of the cross, bless these crosses.